Four childhood friends gather at their hunting cabin in the Maine woods for their annual retreat. Jonesy, Beaver, Henry, and Pete share a bond deeper than ordinary friendship, cemented by their motto, "Same shit, different day," SSDD. But this year feels different. The woods are unnaturally quiet. Animals behave strangely. When they rescue a disoriented hunter named McCarthy wandering through the snow, babbling about lights in the sky, they unknowingly invite disaster into their sanctuary. McCarthy's symptoms are disturbing. Pallid skin despite days and freezing temperatures, childlike speech, and a strange red rash spreading across his face. Most alarming is his explosive diarrhea with an otherworldly chemical stench. When McCarthy locks himself in the bathroom, the friends hear horrifying sounds followed by screams. Breaking down the door, they discover a blood-drenched room and McCarthy's corpse with a massive hole torn through his body. Something has burst out of him, something alive that Beaver traps in the toilet. As military helicopters appear overhead announcing a quarantine, the friends realize they're facing an extraterrestrial threat. The creature eventually breaks free, killing Beaver in a grotesque attack. Simultaneously, Jonesy encounters a gray alien whose head explodes into red-orange particles that he involuntarily inhales. In that moment, an entity calling itself Mr. Gray takes possession of Jonesy's body, while Jonesy's consciousness retreats to a mental office where he becomes a prisoner in his own mind. The alien presence manifests as a reddish-gold fungus called Byrus or Ripley, a metallic growth spreading across the landscape from soil threads to pulsing lattices. Human infection begins with glittering, copper-like skin lesions that develop into raised, web-like patterns. Byrus exposure produces two effects. Mild cases develop telepathic abilities from random thought reception to shared consciousness. Severe infection generates weasel-like parasites that feed on organs before violently bursting out, described as being torn apart from the inside by razor wire. Colonel Kurtz establishes brutal containment zones under the guise of quarantine. His defining atrocity? Attacking gray humanoid aliens despite their telepathic plea, "Please help us, we mean no harm." The tragic irony? Researchers later discover the virus was dying in Earth's atmosphere. The aliens weren't invading, but seeking sanctuary after a catastrophic spaceflight. Their death throes, misinterpreted as colonization, revealed humanity's capacity for violence when facing the unknown. At the novel's core is Duddits Douglas Cavell, a boy with Down syndrome whom the four friends rescued from bullies in 1978, a moment that forged a powerful psychic bond between them. Duddits functions as their dream catcher, connecting their minds and enhancing their abilities. Jonesy's perfect memory, Henry's mind reading, Pete's finding lost things, and Beaver's heightened intuition. Their connection manifested when they helped find missing girl Josie Rinkenhauer by following an invisible line only Duddits and Pete could see. 23 years later, facing an alien threat, they discover Duddits is dying of leukemia, yet remains their spiritual center against Mr. Gray. The dreamcatcher appears literally as an object in the cabin, later covered in alien virus, and metaphorically through Duddits himself, who filters life's nightmares and connects their minds across time and space. Through him, simple kindness creates bonds capable of saving humanity itself. When possessed by Mr. Gray, Jonesy retreats to a mental sanctuary, an office modeled after his workspace. From this refuge, he watches helplessly as Mr. Gray controls his body, using Jonesy's knowledge to plan contaminating Boston's water supply with the alien virus. As Mr. Gray strengthens, the office walls crack, revealing the space's true nature, part of the abandoned Tracker Brothers depot from Jonesy's childhood. This regression symbolizes how stress strips away adult coping mechanisms, returning us to childhood vulnerabilities. Mr. Gray experiences human sensations while driving south. Discovering bacon triggers an almost orgasmic response, leading to gluttonous consumption and illness. Jonesy exploits these newfound desires by collaborating with Duddits to make Mr. Gray crave bacon, forcing a crucial delay. The battle culminates in a dreamscape confrontation where Jonesy and Henry smother Mr. Gray before Jonesy slashes his throat with a jagged television remote, reclaiming his body just in time to prevent Boston's water contamination. Colonel Abraham Kurtz embodies the novel's chilling villain, a commander whose paranoia transforms containment into massacre. With empty eyes, newspaper hat, and ritual questioning, "Do you love Jesus?" Kurtz represents authority without moral constraint. His madness progresses from obsessive documentation to disturbing monologues about divine purpose. His systematic approach to violence, with color-coded zones and execution protocols, shows how bureaucracy normalizes atrocity. His plan to execute hundreds of Americans reveals how protective institutions become predatory when fear overrides ethics. Kurtz initially mentors Owen through shared confidences, but their relationship deteriorates as Kurtz grows unstable. When Owen helps Henry escape and releases civilians, Kurtz launches a personal vendetta with religious fervor. In his final moments, Kurtz places his newspaper hat on Owen before being shot by his subordinate, revealing the pathetic nature of his authority. Through him, we see how civilization crumbles when faced with the unknown, and protective systems become destructive when guided by fear rather than reason. In Dreamcatcher, characters gain enhanced perception through Duddits. Pete sees the line, a golden thread showing direction. Henry develops telepathy, experiencing others' memories as sensory impressions. Beaver senses emotional undercurrents, while Jonesy's mind becomes the battleground against Mr. Gray. These abilities create a reality where physical and psychic dimensions merge. When the friends circle around Duddits while searching for Josie Rinkenhauer, they glimpse her across space and time before following the line to her location. Later, Henry and Duddits form a telepathic link with Jonesy, creating a shared mental space to confront Mr. Gray. The novel suggests ordinary reality is merely one layer of existence. Despite his developmental disability, Duddits perceives connections most miss, seeing lines that transcend space and time. His condition becomes not a limitation, but an alternative perception accessing deeper truths. This enhanced perception comes with a cost, the impossibility of returning to normal life once you've glimpsed what lies beneath. In the epilogue, Henry and Jonesy sit on the porch of Jonesy's cottage, watching his children play. Both bear physical scars, but have found peace. Henry's suicidal thoughts visit, but no longer control him, while Jonesy has resumed his family and academic life. They contemplate Duddits's paradoxical role as both savior and danger catalyst, questioning if their Byram encounter was chance or fate. Henry suggests that Duddits is us, embodying humanity's capacity for both nobility and wickedness. As they join Carla for lunch, Henry carrying Jonesy's sleeping child, their minds briefly connect, seeing the line between them that Duddits help them perceive. This illustrates the novel's core theme. Friendship creates a dream catcher that filters nightmares while preserving what matters. Dreamcatcher proposes salvation comes through personal bonds, not institutions. The friends saved each other, and even in death, Beaver and Pete contributed through their influence on the survivors. What protects us from monsters isn't military might, but the web of connections with those we love.